Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Stop trying to synchronize the new Bloom County strips to Dark Side of the Moon.
What?
I'm still trying to synchronize Wizard of Oz to Dark Side of the Moon. I think you have to be really stoned for that to work.
You have to be really stoned for a lot of things to work.
Besides, they don't move.
What doesn't move?
Whatever you're pushing around your apartment.
That's my chair.
The Bloom County strips.
Oh, right. I already forgot what we were talking
there.
About.
And on the other end of the line, the lovely and talented Jen Wicked. How you doing tonight, Jen?
Oh, it's finally not quite so hot. Y'all are killing me. Somebody sent off a little piece of Texas, and I've been, like, dying the last couple of days because there's no AC in my apartment.
It wasn't even real Texas. Come on.
I know, because we went to Don Pablo's last night, and I had a pale, bland imitation Mexican food from a woman with a very, very heavy Midwestern accent.
Oh, that was pure Minnesota, right?
Well,
there.
I know it was, and you know that's how I realize how long I've been here, because I can distinguish very clearly a Minnesota accent from a Wisconsin one.
Ah. How about an Iowa accent from an Illinois accent?
You know, I haven't talked to enough people from Iowa, so I'm not really sure how to recognize that. And surprisingly, I don't have very many people ask me where I'm from, even though I lack the Minnesota accent that a lot of other people have.
Many people in the Twin Cities, I don't feel, have an accent.
They don't. So I work further out of the city, and, you know, so the people there, like, have more of an accent. And, you know, I have a lot of elderly people and things like that, and they also have more of an accent, as that generally happens.
When I started working, you know, because I worked at a group home in Victoria in the 90s, but it was staffed with religious people, and the kids we got were actually teenagers from mostly inner Minneapolis. So when I left that field and then got into group homes again, was working with elderly, developmentally disabled adults. First off, pretty much all of the staff come from Waconia or further west. And many of the clients come from further west, to the point where the accents were so thick there were times I could not understand people. There was one client we had whose accent I couldn't understand until someone told me, yeah, when she gets really tired, she speaks German.
That's pretty funny.
So, she also speaks German when she gets angry, and she is also the one who, when she gets, you know, goes to a room, I was used to teenagers who go to their room and blast rap music. She goes to her room and blasts polka music.
I was waiting for that.
It was the strangest thing I'd ever heard. I'm not talking to you! Stomp, 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 stomp.
I can't tell what Joe is eating.
Is Joe eating?
Yeah, he's eating, but I can't tell what.
Allow me to get closer to the mic.
I don't know, those sound kind of like Cheetos.
Same brand, Fritos. I'll give it to you.
I should recognize that, too, because Fritos are one of my favorite chips.
Really?
Yeah.
Fritos are one of the few snack chips I can't eat.
More for me and Joe.
Good. You can have them all.
Good.
But we're not here to be talking about the snack chips. Although, you know, we used to talk about American foods. And we missed out on a few that I enjoyed. So,
oh, hey, when is the state fair? When do we start talking about that?
The state fair is at the end of August.
It's the beginning of summer, and we're already talking about the end of it. That's Minnesota, don't you know?
That's how we are. We're always trying to live in the future, never living in the now. But I'm going to talk about the past. I'm going to talk about some of the foods that came out in the past that we didn't talk about.
Well,
we haven't done American food in forever. Did you guys hear about the pizza burger? I take it that's a no.
Pizza burger?
Now, Joe, have you heard of a pizza burger?
I know of a version of pizza burgers, but I'm not sure which.
Okay, tell me about the version of pizza burgers you know of.
It's basically hamburger with pizza stuff in the middle. You slap them together and grill it up. Not unlike a Juicy Lucy, which has tons of cheese in the middle. And you grill it up.
People keep telling me to try a Juicy Lucy, but I can't eat very much beef. I can't have, like, a big, huge hamburger like that, so I haven't tried it yet. Is it going to be worth the discomfort, or am I going to regret this?
Depends on where you buy it.
Depends on if you like a cheeseburger with the cheese in the middle.
I don't really see the purpose.
Yeah, I agree. But the pizza burger is not what Joe described. No, it is a burger with two pepperoni pizzas as its bun.
You know, you can order, like, a pizza with just little pieces of hamburger on it instead of, you know, pepperoni or whatever.
They're running out of foods to invent. There was also the stadium hot dog. Now, Joe, when you think stadium hot dog, what do you think?
Big old hot dog.
How about a hot dog? Whatever you want, huh?
Yep. You want mustard, relish, slaw.
How about popcorn?
If you buy it, you could probably put it on there.
How about cotton candy?
Kind of ruining the candy, but yeah, go ahead.
Yep, the stadium hot dog. They had a hot dog at this baseball stadium. Pretty much a little of everything that they sold at the concession stand, including cotton candy, milk duds, and those little Snickers bits. I don't want to know the people who buy these things. I really don't.
Well, if you don't go to ball games, you probably won't.
Well, I don't. Although I keep wanting to go to a Saints game.
That would be fun.
How about that local sports team?
The Saints are a weird team, though.
What are they?
They're the local minor league team, partially owned by Bill Murray.
Minor league what?
Baseball.
Oh, baseball is kind of boring.
That's why they have things like a pig that wanders the stadium.
I'm paying attention.
That weird theme nights. From what I hear, they have all kinds of cool stuff going on all the time.
I want to go to a hockey game.
I would like to understand a hockey game.
You don't need to understand anything about hockey. It's just hockey.
All I know about hockey is the Goons. I've stunned her into silence. Joe, do you know what the Goons are in hockey?
It's usually an enforcer decided to beat up the other guy before he beats up your guy.
Yep, they're basically the thugs that start the fights. That's all I know about hockey because of the Warren Zevon song, Hit Somebody. But I would like to learn about all these sports here in Minnesota. I'd like to learn about hockey. I'd like to learn about curling. Because curling strikes me as the strangest sport ever. That's really it. I don't like going outside in the winter. It's cold.
This is the most boring episode ever.
Well, yeah, then let's talk true. Comics, shall we?
Cool.
Joe, have you been reading The Rebirth?
Nope. Shows up probably next week in my box.
I have read a few issues of Rebirth Comics.
Did you pick them up at Fall Con, the one-day wonder? 33,000 square feet of awe-inspiring comic book wonderment. October 8th, 2016, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Edumacation Building.
Because we need edumacation.
And you know, advance tickets go on sale. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4 days as of this podcast. Go to www.mcbacomiccons.com. So, Corey, did you go to the future, buy all the Rebirth comics out of the quarter bins, and then come on back here so we can talk about them?
No, But I know where I might be able to buy some comics.
Fall Comic Con?
At LionCon.
What?
2016. LionCon is being held October. Thanks, Joe. It's held August 27th.
Tickets on sale July 1st. Will they have 1,000? Will they have 100 comic creators?
No.
Will they have free grab bags for the first 100 attendees?
No.
Will they have the Knicks Post Scholarship silent auction?
No.
Well, what will they have?
They will. They well, first they will be August 27th at the River's Edge Convention Center in St. Cloud. And if you go to lion-con.com, you'll see their countdown clock. But also, they have tickets available. The tickets are $35 for general admission. And VIP admission is $70. With the VIP admission, you get speed registration, no lines, priority placement for events, free admission to the LionCon cosplay after party, and at the Red Carpet Nightclub. Need to be 21 to get in there, and VIP area only access. Now, why do you think we're talking about the Lion Con, Joe?
Because you're lying?
No, because we're going. We're going to be there. We are a featured guest, and we will be live streaming the whole darn thing. Let's see here. Some of the vendors will be Atlas Games, which is also... Now, are they owned by Source Comics and Games, or are they just affiliated with the Source?
Probably. They tend to own a lot of stuff.
Asmodee North America, Fantasy Flight Games, Days of Wonder, Pokemaniac Dan. I just want to meet Pokemaniac Dan, because anybody whose name is Pokemaniac, you got to meet that guy. Halfling Crafts, Old Haven Arts, More Creations, our friend, Dangerous Dan Moore, is going to be there as a featured guest. Wicked Jester Clothing. I wonder if they make Juggalo clothes. SRJ Ceramics. Tentacle Made Studios by Trey Blastin Game. Legends of Chaos. And many more to come. But we're going to be there. We're going to be all set up. We're going to be live podcasting the whole darn time. It's 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Who knows? Maybe we'll live podcast some of the party.
What was that website again?
Lion-con.com. If you got yourself a convention you would like us to show up at, Joe and I will show up. We'll wave. We'll talk to people. There will be free balloons for the kids. Spoiler alert, we don't have free balloons. But we will be live podcasting. And I bet Jin Wicked would like to show up at conventions, too.
Hey, I would. That would be swell. I might be convinced to blow up a balloon.
She might bring her artwork there, and you could buy it.
I will dance for you.
And you can give her monies. Many monies. But no, I was reading some of the Rebirth stuff, and remember how I said I was a little concerned that the story in Rebirth wouldn't be moving into other books? Didn't see hide nor hair of anything from the DC Rebirth story in Superman Rebirth.
I saw something in Batman.
I read the Batman Rebirth, and I didn't see a whole lot there, but I tell you what, Tom King on Batman, I'm sold.
Yeah, no, there was something in Batman, a mysterious figure talking about counting down.
Now, did you read the Batman story, Joe?
No, I just kind of glanced through it. I stopped by the Source, pick up some reading stuff, since I still got a week or so to go before I get my my Rebirth stuff.
Did you order Batman Rebirth?
I think I ordered everything. I did that discount comic book thing where they order everything for you.
Oh, you can get my mini comics at the Source now.
I saw those.
Since you mentioned the Source.
Yep, they were right on the books, right up front.
Sweet.
And soon she'll be in other comic shops here in the Twin Cities.
I will. Yes, definitely.
And if you're wanting one of these mini comics, you know what to do. You know what to do.
Okay, sorry I interrupted you.
That's okay.
I'm inflating a giant donut right now. This is a thing I picked up I saw it while I was out the other day, and it is a giant inflatable donut. So if you hear a strange hissing sound, that is me testing my lung capacity and blowing up this giant donut.
God. But Tom King is the guy who writes Vision, which is one of my favorite books in the whole wide world. His Batman story was very cool, and I'm going to mention a villain, and we will see what Joe's first impression of this villain is. Are you ready, Joe?
Boring. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tell me about Calendar Man.
Calendar Man, Calendar Man.
Doing whatever a calendar can.
They have a fight. Calendar Man wins.
He's only good Calendar once Man. A year. Recycle it now.
Actually, Calendar Man always gets his ass beat. But Joe, do you know anything about Calendar Man? Do you remember anything about the Batman foe Calendar Man?
Wasn't he for a while, or maybe I'm confusing him, he was kind of like a behind-the-scenes guy that people talk to get things done.
They tried that with him and no one cared.
Okay, so I'm not hallucinating. That's the only thing I remember of Calendar Man. Man. June 2016, Calendar Man. Soon he'll be July 2016.
His gimmick
Calendar
was...
Calendar Man.
And if they might be giants, doesn't sue us, will tell us how great they are.
As I was trying to say...
This is what you get for not having a subject or something for us to...
Shame on you.
I asked people if they had any ideas.
I didn't see nothing in my Gmail.
You're the ringleader of this thing.
Yeah, ringer.
I got to come up with ideas for my own podcast.
Really?
When I get to Freakum, we'll explain why I don't have a theme.
A likely excuse.
But Calendar Man's gimmick was that he did crimes based on holidays and other days. So when you see, hey, the villain in Batman Rebirth is Calendar Man, you kind of fall asleep. Nope. Calendar Man is now one of the creepiest villains in the DC Universe. And if they could turn Calendar Man into something cool and creepy, imagine what they could do with the actual cool Batman villains. Wonder Woman Rebirth, again, not a whole lot to do with Rebirth, but it's Greg Rucka back on Wonder Woman, which is always a good thing.
Rucka, Rucka, Rucka.
And those were the three I read. The Superman one was basically following up on the death of Superman. That seems that nobody seems to give a damn that Superman's dead. They sold over 1 million copies. The first time Superman dies, 24 years later, Superman dies again. People yawn.
What? That was 24 years ago?
1992.
Oh, my God.
That's my job, making you feel old.
Thanks.
As we say on this podcast all the time, don't do the math. What else do we got? What else do I have here? I have the top-selling comics.
Amuse us. Let's see if I read any of them. Let's see. Number one, Walking Dead. Number two, Walking Dead. Number three, Walking Dead.
No.
Saga.
Number four, Saga. Number five, some manga nobody reads. Number six, Walking Dead.
No. Now, last year when we did this, the number one selling comic was, what the heck was that? Some movie tie-in thing that Loot Crate jumped on. And I'm going to see if I could pull it up, because both it and the other number one that Loot Crate jumped onto and sold a whole bunch of, no one cared. Nope.
Do you sing the girl from Ipanema, Joe?
Nah. We got enough copyright infringement going on.
It was The Orphan Black, based on the TV show that is going to be ending next season. But Orphan Black sold like 500,000 copies, and the comic is already canceled now, so that was a year ago.
That was a good investment.
But here's the top 10. Number one, DC Universe Rebirth number one.
Oh, you spoiled it. You should have gone down.
Oh, you want me to do it that way?
Never mind. You already ruined it. What's number two?
No,
too late.
I'm doing the Casey Kasem. But before we get into the Casey Kasem. I'll give you the number 11 book.
Not quite making the countdown this week.
Scooby Apocalypse, number one, actually sold 69,000 copies.
Did you read it?
No.
It wasn't bad. I don't know how long they're going to keep it going. I mean, it's like kind of like Afterlife with Archie, but with a Scooby-Doo twist that's probably code-approved.
I never liked Scooby-Doo. I feel like the only person on the planet who just didn't like Scooby-Doo as a kid.
No, I didn't like that show either. You're not alone.
There were only two Scooby-Doo shows that I liked. Oddly, it wasn't Batman, Robin team-up. But there was one where they were fighting a robot in a amusement park. And it wasn't...
Wait. Was it an abandoned amusement park, and the bad guy turned out to be the guy who owned it?
Nope. It actually just was a malfunctioning robot. They didn't rip the heads off it or anything, which I thought was actually kind of interesting.
I thought the Flintstones were overrated, too.
The other one was the Scooby-Doo movies where Dick Van Dyke was on it, because Dick Van Dyke was freaking hilarious. Those were pretty much it.
Coming in at number 10... Amazing Spider-Man number 12 with 75,000 copies sold.
Spider-Man.
Coming in at number 9, Black Panther number 2.
Ooh.
At 77,000 copies. That's down quite a lot because the previous issue sold over 250,000 copies.
That'll be canceled soon.
What did they do?
Issue number 1 had a whole bunch of special covers, and it's written by a Pulitzer Prize winning essayist. And
wasn't bad.
Number one sell much, much better. Any more with a Marvel number one, you're seeing a 60% drop from issue 1 to issue 2.
Oh, drop. Sorry.
Drop it like it's hot.
Yep. Ouch.
At number 8 is Darth Vader number 20.
Soon to be canceled.
Well, no, it's ending.
Canceled. It's out of here.
Canceled is when they say it's... Canceled is when the editor and the publisher say it's over.
If I don't get a number,
ending
26,
is when the creator says it's over.
Game over,
well,
man.
Yeah, it's over.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Number 7 is Justice League number 50. That's one that you read, right, Joe? Isn't that the end of some big story?
Yeah, the anti-monitor dark side. It went on way too long more.
Okay. Number 6 is Star Wars number 19 at 95,000 copies.
Not canceled.
Nope. Still, I'm...
Is strong in this one.
Spider-Man!
I'm actually really shocked that Star Wars is selling this well for this long.
What?
Because, the comic did really well in the 70s. But even when it was at Dark Horse, it only sold about 20,000 to 30,000 copies a month. And Marvel's been able to keep it over 90,000 for almost 2 years now. Number 5 is Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 1, the comic that made everyone angry.
Why did it make everyone angry?
Hail Hydra.
Oh.
Number 4, Batman, number 52.
Batman!
Thank you. 102,000 copies. That means that the entire 52-issue run of Batman stayed above 100,000 copies. Number 3, Punisher number 1 with 110,000 copies. Joe, how long do you think Punisher number 1 will last in the top 10?
I don't know. I found a second print that I read. It's not too bad. I mean, Dylan's art is fantastic, but it'd be interesting to see where the writer Becky Coonan's going with this one.
The thing I liked about it was it wasn't – the Punisher was – I don't want to say a secondary character, but the book was around people's reactions to him, making him more mysterious and more interesting. Because in a lot of ways, the Punisher is a very one-note character. And the best writers on the Punisher understand that and make his villains interesting. Because the Punisher, he's pretty boring all by himself.
It'll be interesting to see, because it looked to me, and again, I got to reread this, that they're dealing more with a DEA, you know, kind of becoming aware of that the Punisher is still around.
Yes.
And so that should be fun just to see where they go with it. You know, more like he's kind of a urban myth type thing, you know, and it's like, well,
yeah,
we might have to go. So we'll see what happens.
And number two, Civil War II, number zero, sold 177,000 copies. Causing something to fall down.
No, I finished inflating the donut, and I accidentally smacked it on something and almost popped it.
Please don't pop the donut.
I won't pop the donut.
Don't pop the donut.
I don't know that song.
I don't know that song either.
It was a really bad rendition of Peter Gabriel's Shock the Monkey.
What? How did you get that out of Shock the Monkey?
Three words. Shock the Monkey, pop the donut.
But I didn't even recognize it, and I know
that's
that
why
song.
I said it was very bad.
Joe, did you read the Civil War 2-0?
You mean Civil War 0-2 or 2-0 or...
I don't remember.
I know I read them. Matter of fact, I got number two sitting right here.
Number zero was... I'm sorry, but number zero issues annoy me at this point. Why not just call it number one?
So they can milk an extra one out of you instead of, like,
probably
waiting, you know, 4 months for an issue number nine.
I remember... Here's how old I am. I remember when a zero issue came out long after a number one came out and would say kind of what happened before number one. And now, and ask the Joe and Jin.
Hang on, I had
Jin
to unmute my mic.
Jin might even know this one.
I might have to mute mine.
Because, I'll explain why. What was the first comic book zero issue?
Why would I know that?
When I give the answer, I'll explain why you might know that. Joe?
Well, I obviously don't know that.
Okay, Joe,
well,
do you know?
What was the question?
What was the first comic book zero
was
issue?
Was it Poison Elves?
No. Nope.
Why would I know that?
Batman!
Spider-Man!
I want to say it was some type of X-Men book, but I don't really recall.
What was that guy that was on the pin you told me that I bought at the source?
Dr. Strange.
Dr. Strange.
Dr.
Zap, number zero, was the first zero issue. Came out a couple years after Zap number one, and the reason Jin might know it is because it was all Arkham art. It was a bunch of uncollected Arkham art that he put out as Zap number zero. I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. What was the book about?
It was Arkham stories that were weird and creepy.
You really got to be a little more specific.
You can't be, because it's Arkham. All his stories are weird and creepy. The other issues of Zap had other artists in them. Zap number one and Zap number zero only had his work in it. And, of course, as I said, number one was DC Universe Rebirth, 235,000, and they're doing a second and third printing. Now, do we really think that 235,000 people bought an issue of DC Rebirth number one?
Were there actually variant covers of it?
I believe so. The balloon is taking over the damn show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jin,
are you hugging the...
Jin,
are you hugging...
Jin is in a death and life struggle with a balloon.
Are you hugging the donut?
No comment.
She's hugging the donut.
No comment.
Jin needs hugs. Sometimes all she's got is a donut.
But sometimes a donut's enough.
Sometimes a donut has you. D-man.
In Soviet Russia. Now, do we want to head over and take a look at the top 10 graphic novels?
Ooh,
why not?
Jin, you were over at Como?
I was at Como. Are you liking stuff on my Facebook?
Well, this is usually the only time of the week I get to. No, I actually grew up in that area.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
I know. I didn't really appreciate living right on top of that whole area. And then when I, of course, had to move away, it's like, aw, I don't live on top of this really cool park.
Well, one of the things that Jin and I talked about on Sunday night was the fact that you can literally, in the Twin Cities, just literally go outside, and within a few minutes, you're in a wooded area.
Yeah, you're like a beautiful lake, or the... Oh, I have 13 fucking Facebook notifications, Joe!
Well, it's that or your donut.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a picture of the donut. It's like static electricity is like pulling on my hair.
If you ever
and making your microphone buzz.
If you ever go up in the Space Needle at the State Fair, you're going to look about and really the Twin Cities looks like we're in a forest. We're essentially an urban forest. The trees are pretty thick. You can hardly see any of the houses. Because the trees are so big. I mean, you see apartment buildings and industrial and the downtowns pop up. That alone, it's worth the ride.
Well, one of the things I like about the glorious Solitaire Rose compound, I can put on my MP3 player, which I guess is for old people now because no one has MP3 players anymore. I can walk for 10 minutes and be at the Minnesota River. With not a sight of a house or a road or concrete at all. And I don't know if there are many other cities like that. I know when Jin and I went to Houston, we would drive and she would drive and she would drive and it would still be, wow, we're still in the suburbs. There are a lot of check cashing places here, aren't there? But let's go to the top 10 graphic novels. Not making the countdown. Coming in at number 11.
Walking Dead.
Nope. Saga, Volume 1.
What? It's an anime.
Yes.
It's a scandal. It's an outrage how they do the graphic novels today.
So.
Little Oklahoma for you.
Saga is actually starting to pile up the sales the same way Walking Dead did those first few years, where every month, another 2, 3, 4,000. And that stacks up pretty fast. But there it is. It came out, 3 years ago? Number 11. At number 10, Spider-Man Deadpool, Don't Call It a Team-Up, sold 3,700 copies. Number 9, Spider-Gwen, Volume 1, Greater Power, 38,000 copies. Joe, have you read Spider-Gwen?
I tried to. It wasn't really my thing. Well, that was an interesting balloon review of Spider-Gwen.
Donut, what do you think?
You thought Wolfie was bad.
Go on.
Now, is this a donut with sprinkles?
Yes.
Okay. But not a jelly donut?
No.
Just a round donut?
Full of air.
Okay, not like a Bismarck.
No, I'm like in the donut hole.
Okay. Too many jokes must mock Jin. I was able to force it back. Spider-Gwen is a book that I would not go out of my way to buy, but I'm enjoying it enough on the Marvel Unlimited app. And the fact that it's selling so well... One of the things that Marvel did with the all-new, all-different Marvels, they really made a push for diversity. A lot of female characters, a lot of non-Anglo-American characters, and it seems to be paying off, especially in digital sales and trade paperback sales. At number 8, Star Wars Canon, Volume 2, First Blood.
Boom.
So was that like Rambo 2, First Blood? How could it be Volume 2 if it's First Blood? Sold 4,000 copies. Also selling around 4,000 copies. Matter of fact, only 12 copies separated number 7 from number 8 was Joker Endgame, which is a crossover that the Batman books did. At number six is Chew, Volume 11. Joe, have you ever read Chew?
I have Chew up to Volume 4. I stopped buying it because Dana borrowed them all, and I just kind of lost track of which ones I have. I am hoping they do, like, an omnibus-type collection, because I was just reading in this one's preview, they're up to the last story arc.
Yes. Chew is a very weird comic that I did not think I would like. It is set in a world where the FDA has guns, and certain foods are outlawed, and the FDA basically tracks down smugglers for these foods, and it gets weirder from there. There's huge international conspiracies. The FDA is corrupt. I am amazed that I still like it. It's this weird, weird book. And the art is very idiosyncratic.
Well, you didn't tell the best part about it.
And what's that?
The protagonist of Chew, and I can't remember what they call it. He's, I don't know, they made it up. Chewopathic, which means he gets psychic impressions from whatever he eats. The key is whatever he eats. It also means he's one hell of a detective, as long as he doesn't mind nibbling on a corpse of a murder victim to figure out who done it and why.
Yes. Yeah. And it's coming to an end soon. Number five, from the writer of Saga, from artist Steve Skros, We Stand on Guard Deluxe Hardcover. Sold 4,000 copies. This was a great book. It's set in the future where the United States has collapsed and Canada has created giant robots to keep Americans from coming into Canada.
Sounds right to me.
It sounds like what's going to be happening if Trump wins. Number four, Black Science, Volume 4, another Image book. I have not read this one. I've heard good things about it. I can't read everything. I'm sorry.
I think I have, like, the first six issues of it. But, again, like you said, they're not in one spot. So I stopped buying it, and then I figured, you know, eventually I'm going to find them, put them together, and I'll just end up probably buying the rest of the graphic novels.
I just think that eventually I'm going to have time to read all this shit. Stop laughing.
What?
Number three.
Sorry, not sorry.
Number three is Civil War.
Hail Hydra.
Which one?
Shall I make Joe feel old, Jen?
Okay.
Civil War, which is a 10-year-old story, and was the comic that killed Joe's second shop.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Because it was.
Shall we tell that story?
Sure, we'll take a little sidebar. Basically, what the deal was, and you'll be shocked, Jin, to find out that a Marvel comic was late.
And a comic written by Mark Miller and drawn by Steve McNiven.
But what had happened was is Marvel front-loaded everything, so in order to read Civil War and not have the spoilers given away, you had to have them come out in a certain order. Well, the main Civil War book was late, and when it was supposed to come out in September, and it was coming out, what, October, November? I forget what it was.
What it was, it started in the spring. And unlike the way they do crossovers now, all the tie-ins were in the regular series. So, like, it wasn't Amazing Spider-Man Civil War. It was, nope, in Amazing Spider-Man, the story ties in with Civil War. And that was the story where Peter Parker made his secret identity public. The Fantastic Four tied in. All these books tied in. And then I think it was May or June when they announced that, yep, the next issue isn't coming out till late July, early August.
Well, what was the previous crossover? Because there was some heat that somebody got, and I don't know if it was DC or Marvel, because they just kept publishing the books, and then the regular books would, like, give away spoilers in the main book. And so DC or Marvel, whoever did it, took some heat on that. And that's why this particular time around, they said, well, we're not going to do that. And they started that annoying habit, too, of you'd look at something, and the whole thing in previews would be blacked out. Classified information to be revealed later, because they didn't want any of the secrets given away, which made it really hard to get anybody to buy it and have anybody get any excitement on ordering this stuff. So we were essentially ordering crap blind.
But then when they said, okay, the book is going to be delayed for 2 months, and that means that all of these other Marvel books will be delayed. Well, you had Joe's Shop, which wasn't making a profit but wasn't losing money. A good half of his sales had just been bumped from June to July and August.
And then when they did it again, I did
that
some
bumped,
quick...
That bumped the August sales into October and November.
Yeah, and I told Gory, and I don't know when I said it, but it had to have been in July, I said, I can't make enough money to make my bills in September. There's no way to do it. Because the books that were left over, DC and whatever Image and Independence I had, even with 50 plus subscribers, I could not make my bills. I couldn't get the rent paid. I couldn't get the utilities paid. I tossed in the towel. I mean, I've been thinking about it anyways, because, you know, I've talked about it before where Chris and I were toying with the idea, you know, we're not losing money, but we're not making money. But when tax time comes around, you know, with a small business, you funnel so much through it, that's kind of your make it thing. But it was like, how the hell am I going to get through September? So I called up Diamond and I said, you know, I think it's over. I said, if I don't have any Marvels to sell in September, I'm just going to shut down. And I told him the date I would accept the last shipment. They said, well, you got 1,200 bucks of stuff outstanding of things that didn't come in. And see, when you order things, you buy it. You're personally responsible for it, whether it's shipped or not or it's late or not. Diamond settles for 10%. So, like, sometime in November, I wrote him a check for 120 bucks. For my subscribers, I had gone to the source. I talked with Nick and told him, hey, we're going to close. Can you bump your orders up enough and I'll have my subscribers go to you ahead of time so that you're not caught short? Because, it comes in later in the story. Nick and Bob graciously gave us free discount cards that I gave to everybody. I gave everybody a copy of their list. Some people went to the source. A few people went to Hot Comics. Some people went to Discount Comic Book Service. Some people probably
dropped. That was me. That was me.
I think Wiesemeyer went there, too.
Yeah.
And anyways, what happened, and this might have been a game changer, but the Shinders went under later that year. And I kept thinking, if I could have made it through September, how much of the bump would I have gotten from people leaving Shinders? Because they all, I mean, this was the big one. This is when, like, all 18 stores closed at, like, boom.
Yeah.
And 13. And all these people descended on the source, and they were, yeah, it's great to have these customers, but they didn't have the books. All of a sudden, things that didn't sell out were sold out the day of. And when I had Hot Comics the first time, the source, not the source that's there now, but the previous owners, they had a store nearby that closed. And one of the guys I know suggested, why don't you do guerrilla marketing? Just stand out in front of them and pass out flyers or put something on the window. And I was too nice to do it. Had I done it this time, I would have been sitting in front of the source's closed shop and say, hey, come on down to Crazy Comics. We're just right down the road. That might have been a turning point for Crazy Comics, or not. I don't know. Either way, I'm happy with how it ended up.
And it's hard to believe it's been 10 years.
No, not really. 2006.
Yeah. But Civil War still selling.
Thank you, Marvel.
And out of all of the big crossovers that Marvel did, the fact that Civil War is the one that still sells kind of surprises me.
As a standalone, it's not actually that bad.
As a standalone, I actually like Secret Invasion better, because when it doesn't have the weight of being a crossover, it's just a fun alien invasion story.
It is. There could have been more, I don't know, how would you say, consequences or long-term effects of it. Then again, there could have been that with the Spider-Clone saga. It could have been that with Infinity.
After the Secret Invasion, we actually got a year and a half storyline.
That was Dark then, Rain. This is now.
Dark Rain was cool. I don't care what anybody says. Dark Rain was cool.
Dark Rain is coming down.
Number two is Descender, Volume 2, another Image book that I honestly have not read. But it sold 6,000 copies. And number one is a book that is, Joe, you once again, you ready to feel old? 28 years old. Take a guess.
Watchmen.
Nope. It has been repackaged yet again. This time, it was originally...
Killing Joke.
What? Yes, Killing Joke. Originally...
Repackage gave it away.
$2.99, now a hardcover for $17.99.
Hot snot.
And it was basically a Batman annual that they decided to package in the what they called the prestige format, because it was, Brian Boland said, this will be my last sequential comics art. From now on, I'm just going to do sketches and covers.
Okay, I posted a picture of the donut.
Hang on a second, we must check this out. Meanwhile, while you're checking out Jin's donut, remember that the FDA found thousands of Coors Light beers laced with cocaine nationwide.
What?
Man, they shouldn't make
my work here is done. You're welcome.
Tell her about the Twinkie.
Professional broadcasting.
This professional is what you get for like not having a subject.
Shame on you.
What, me not having a subject means you're gonna pose with a goofy face inside a donut.
Hey man, I have teeth.
Guess what, Joe?
She's gonna bite it, it's gonna let a fart and fly out the window.
If she's going to do that, I'm never going to have a topic again.
Pretty soon, her entire studio will be filled with inflatable objects.
Joe, did you just get my picture? Now you have another picture you can put on the YouTube.
We've got to, tease our Facebook people. I've seen a lot of inflatable donuts in my life. I'm lying. I've never quite seen you that happy.
I know, right?
Damn, I wish I had a donut.
I do have a donut. Yeah. You know who else has a donut?
Dunkin' Donuts?
Krispy Kreme?
You guys have been doing so well lately.
These guys!
Our sponsors! Yes, here at Solitaire Rose Networks, we have ads. That's right, we have ads. Just like every other podcast. Come on, it's okay. Our first advertiser is our longest-running advertiser, and that's DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host all over the interwebs. You could go to other web hosts. You could go to the ones that have big ads on TV and everything, and they're not going to give you the service, the dependability, and the reliability of DreamHost. Head on over to DreamHost.com, use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year of web hosting. Another of our sponsors is Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club has great blades at low prices, and let's face it, you gotta shave. Head over to shaved.by/C19DC. Get you some blades. They're wonderful. I use them. I use all of our sponsors. Matter of fact, head on over to crazycomics.com. Over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see all of our sponsors. Bombas, Grays, Flaviar, Dollar Shave Club, and DreamHost. If you would like to advertise on any of the podcasts in the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising.
And after we do the sponsors, we ask Joe, what's going on the eBays?
What's going on? What's going on? I have been putting back all those variants I donated to the MCBA. And
putting them back?
Yeah, because what I'll do is, since it's a whole freaking year till the next MSP con, formerly known as Spring Con, I figure I'll put them up. If they sell, I'll donate that money to the charity booth next year. It's better that than just let them just sit for a year. Besides, like, every variant cover, they're hot, and then they do cool off. And right now the ones I got are pretty cool off.
Stone cold.
Yeah, not stone cold, but they're, you know, it surprises you every so often. I mean, every so often, you know, okay, it's time to ask the Strode.
Uh-oh. I wasn't ready.
Strode.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, tell it to the donut. What is Scarlet from Icon?
That is a series that started 4 years ago.
Yep, 2010. 6 years ago. Holy cow.
Oh, 6 years ago. Had a multi-year gap between the issues 7 and 8 or 6 and 7. Yep. But it's a creator-owned book by Brian Michael Bendis and, is it Gatos? Michael Gatos?
Alex Maleev?
Oh, Maleev.
Yeah.
They were the creators on Alias. This was supposed to be their follow-up, and it started a little before the time of Occupy Wall Street, and it's about a woman who starts a revolution over economic matters. And because the book has been so goddamn late, I no longer give a shit.
Yep, it's one of those we talked about last episode when that Brian Hibbs was talking about. Because number 10 just shipped this month.
What it is, they were contractually obligated to finish a certain number of issues by the end of the year. So they have rushed out 3 issues in 2 months.
Yeah.
For 3 years, nothing. And I think they finished the first story, and then there was a multi-year gap, and then they put out the first part of the new story, and then 3 years, and now 3 issues in 2 months. And gosh, what a shock, it's not selling.
What's weird,
it's kind of like the book Brilliant that Bendis did it as well. It's another creator-owned book that he and Mark Bagley did. First issue came out, sold incredibly well, because it's Bendis and Bagley. How many years has it been? No second issue yet.
Yeah, that's what makes up quarter boxes. The reason I mentioned Scarlet is because I had just put up a couple variants that were left over. Number 1 and 2 and 4, and by God, they sold right away, which is really weird. You know, I mean, they'd been sitting on eBay previous for the con. I don't know how long. So, anyways, I'll be putting more variants up. I'll be going through, like I said, and packaging them up, figuring out what to do with it. And the deal is still the same. If you buy something or see something you like, just let me know. You listen to this here show. You listen to Jin's show. Hell, you listen to that bum Adam, who pizza and panels, who never give us no pizza. Nope, nope. Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, at every fine eBay outlet on the interwebs.
There's more than one?
Well, there's just me. There's other crazy. I mean, I think Mike, my old employee, used to go under Crazy Lackey, although he...
Oh, that would have been cool.
He hasn't sold anything for a while.
So after we get done with the eBays, we then turn to Jin Wicket and say, Jin, what's going on with your art stuffs?
Man.
Batman!
I don't know.
You have not drawn any Batmans.
No, it's... I don't know, man. I'm just drawing stuff. Follow me on Facebook, whatever. I'm putting as much effort into this as you did.
Ooh.
Corey, what are you doing?
Head on over to worldwidenews.solitairerose.com. You will see that the web strip has started up again. That's right, twice a week. The story of the lowest-rated cable news network and the people who work there has fired up again. We are in political season, so I can't just let it go. I've got to be making fun of the stuff that's going on. So head on over there. Also, there will be an announcement at Convergence, which is July 4th weekend. Dan will have copies of the first collected edition of Worldwide News with DVD commentary by yours truly and some of the characters in the strip. That's right, Joe. I'm going to be a published author, and Joe doesn't care.
Nope, because I can't go.
No, but you'll be able to get the book somehow.
Yeah.
I'll get the book, and then I'll give it to you guys, and then you'll review it, and then I'll curl on the floor in the fetal position and cry. That'll be a great episode, won't it?
Well, if
so head on over there
live like we did at the con, it could be.
Also, a week and a half ago, a new episode of Solitaire Rose Radio came out where I interviewed Mike Allred. That's right, Mike Allred, current artist on Art Ops, on The Silver Surfer, creator of Madman, creator of all of the art for Kevin Smith's movies Chasing Amy and Mallrats, creator of Superman, Madman, Hullabaloo, Ecstatics. He's way too classy for me to have interviewed, but there you go, I did. And now that I've gotten all my plugs out of the way, it's time for my favorite part of the show. Freaking a geeky. Joe, what are you freaking on?
When are we going to go down to the Minnesota Historical Center and go see What's Up, Doc? The Animation Art of Chuck Jones, which will be there April 30th through August 13th.
I'm free Saturday.
You know I work Saturdays.
I work every day. We'll plan something. We'll go.
All right. Well, I'm freaking on that because time's a-wasting. I got to get me a new weather radio, which really was surprising because the last couple of times severe weather come through, damn thing didn't even beep. So I unplugged it, I reprogrammed it, I did everything. And then I realized, well, you know, I've had it about 10 years. It's about time for a new one. I advise everybody, especially if you're in storm areas, to get one. Because just like last night, we had a bunch of storms come running through. Sadly, up in the Boundary Waters, Craig Waltz was killed while camping. Tree fell on him, injured his son. It's big news here because he's brother of Congressman Tim Waltz. They had baseball size hail up by Mille Lacs Lakes. Can you? I can't envision that. I've seen quarter size hail, but baseball size, I mean, that's freaking crazy. So definitely pick up a weather radio because it could possibly save your life.
What about the app on my phone that beeps when there's bad weather, and it means I have to go into the group home's bathroom with the residents until the severe weather is over? And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You have not had an enjoyable evening till you have gone into a bathroom at 4 in the morning with six cranky, developmentally disabled adults that you had to wake up at 4 in the morning and listen to a weather radio.
Well, as long as your
boy, that's party.
As long as your self service doesn't give out, you're fine. But the radio, you can put batteries on, and you should be fine because they do have backup transmitters. So hopefully, it keeps broadcasting the whole time. This is the last week that Big Brain Comics is open. They're going to close their doors forever this Thursday, June 30th. So you haven't got a chance to swing by and check them out, do it, or forever not do it. He's doing it because he's tired, though. I do understand that, because I got that way towards the end of Hot Comics.
Well, how long has that store been open? Over 20 years.
Yeah, it's been about 20 years. They've had a couple different locations, and it always bemused me because they always got, oh, they're a great store for independent comics. And I'm like, just because my name was Hot Comics doesn't mean I didn't support independent comics. I got my name in one of them there Star Wars reports in the late 90s, so I got that going for me.
And Chris Staros now, you know what Chris Staros does for a living now, don't you? The guy who did the Staros reports?
Yeah. No, I... What?
He is the publisher of Top Shelf Comics.
Ooh.
So here's a guy who, back in the 90s, once a year, put out this... it was kind of a magazine, but it may as well have been a book, where he went over the best comics. And rather than just keep putting out a book about the best comics, no, I'm just going to publish them.
Yeah. He's and part of IDW now, isn't he?
Yep. They sold to IDW because it was getting increasingly difficult for him to do the marketing on his own. And IDW... I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Joe, do you know the movie studio Miramax?
Yes.
They, back in the 90s, they did Pulp Fiction and all of these other things, and then they got bought by Disney. But the reason Disney bought them was Miramax was this little film company that was owned by two brothers that would win Oscars every year. The movies that they made won Oscars. Disney made a lot of money, but they didn't get many Oscars because they weren't putting out Oscar-worthy movies. So rather than change what they did, they just bought somebody who put out quality movies. What IDW did was they bought somebody who puts out Eisner Award-winning books. It also got their foot into the very lucrative library market. Because I remember a few times, and you probably took advantage of it too, if you got on Top Shelf's mailing list, if they ran into some sort of financial trouble, they'd send you an email saying, hey guys, we need to raise $20,000 because this store went under and this printing bill came in, so we're doing this big discount sale in our warehouse.
Oh yeah, and it was good stuff too.
And it wasn't, you know, here's the crap that we've got that the rats are eating on. No, it was, hey, do you want From Hell? You can have it for half off. Do you want this book? Basically, they would sell stuff till they made the money they needed to pay off that bill. Now they don't have to do that anymore. They're with a big publisher that can handle that sort of thing.
My final freaking is I still can't get anybody to watch my copy, complete and uncut, of the Wicked Warden Elza.
Oh.
I haven't been this depressed since I had Women's Prison Massacre, and nobody wanted to watch it with me either.
Joe, I've seen one of the Elza movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. They're god-awful terrible.
Nobody will watch it with me.
There's a reason for that.
Jen, what are you freaking on? What's got you bummed out?
It's hot. I don't have air conditioning. I'm tired. I have too much work to do. I think that's everything.
Corey? Next week's freaking will be her donut popped.
I know, right? Don't break my donut.
Pressing.
Don't break the donut. Corey, did you already
again,
do that?
Don't break too many the jokes. Donut. Huh? What?
Corey, did you freak on something already?
No.
Oh, what are you freaking on, Corey?
Last Wednesday, last week, they're still horribly, horribly understaffed at the group home, and I took all the overnight shifts they offered me, so I slept there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And I will just give Jen the side eye because she gives me crap for it every so often. I'll just give her the side eye. But Tuesday night when I went into work, I had a bit of a sore throat. I wasn't feeling the best. And I went in and let's put it this way. I don't remember what night it was, but one of those nights we had a severe thunderstorm. And at 4 in the morning, we had to wake everybody up, get them in the bathroom. And they were not happy. And the severe thunderstorm warning was supposed to be 4 to 4:30.
And then at 4:25, they extended it to 5. And then at 4:50, they extended it to 5:30. And at 5:30, okay, it's done. Everybody gets to go back to bed. But then they have to wake up at 6 o'clock. So most of them just did not go back to bed. So I didn't get a lot of sleep that night. But Wednesday when I woke up, my throat just hurt like it hasn't in a long time. And I was having trouble kind of concentrating and staying awake. So I got home, and when I got home, it was like, okay, I need to just lay down for 10 minutes. And Jen has actually been there when I have said, I just need to lay down for 10 minutes. Jen, what happened the last time I told you, I just need to lay down for 10 minutes?
You had to go to the hospital and have your gallbladder removed?
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you can't lay on my couch all night. Something is, like, going on.
No, that's not what you said.
Well, it was close to that.
No, it wasn't. You said, you can't lay on my couch all night. I don't want you here.
I did?
Yes.
I'm a bitch. Wow.
You were like, I've got stuff to do. You can't lay on my couch
all
night.
Well, I did.
Okay.
Well, you weren't getting any better. Clearly, because you needed your fucking gallbladder removed.
So I got home and I laid down for 10 minutes. Laying down for 10 minutes.
With that.
Laying down for 10 minutes seems to be the sign that, hey, Corey is not in
good
shape.
Corey needs to be hospitalized.
Corey needs a giant inflatable donut.
Do you want me to buy Corey a donut?
I don't know. If he might not be able to blow it up by himself.
I've got great lungs.
How would I know? They're inside you.
So after 10 minutes, I kind of stood up and was dizzy and said, I don't think it's a good idea for me to drive into work. So I called work and I emailed the temp agency thing and said, yeah, I think I'm staying home sick today. I will reassess at noon. And I went in and I lay down on my bed and I got up around 6 in the afternoon. I do not know what I had. But I do know that clients at the group home had strep throat. So the next day, I went to work, all loaded up on Dayquil and Chloraseptic, and made it through the next 2 days. And then Jen saw me yesterday, and I have no idea if I looked presentable or not.
You seemed okay.
But I still did all my overnights. And even with taking the day off at the quote, full-time job, unquote, I still put in over 90 hours between the two jobs. The other thing I am freaking on, Friday night, I was looking for a piece of artwork that Jin drew while drunk at a tiki bar.
Yeah.
And I had had it hung up at my job. And then there was one day when I was very much in the fuck this place, I'm done with this, and I took everything that I had there at that job and put it in a box and took it home, thinking that I was quitting on Friday. They talked me into staying, but that piece of artwork I put somewhere safe, and now I don't know where it is. Now, normally it would be, oh, it will resurface eventually, but no, Jin wants it to make stickers. So I spent Friday night going through boxes and boxes and boxes and sorting, and it was nice because I threw away a bunch of stuff, but I did not find the art yet, and I feel miserable about it. And as I told her in an email, I realize I suck. I'm sorry. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Cats kissing porpoises. Oh, I'm sorry, that's what I'm looking at on Facebook. Oh, I've just been all sorts of things to geek on. Let me find my list. Where did it go? Ah, here we go. Got my list right here. For Father's Day, I couldn't visit my own father because he went to the hospital, but he's okay now. But my daughter, my eldest, gave me a picture frame that she decorated herself and apparently spent many an hour trying to figure out which picture to put inside it. It's a nice frame. It sits on its side. It says, live, love, laugh. Corey, Jen, which picture do you think she put inside?
The one of you and your dad in the toilet?
Negative. And we were coming out of it.
That was my guess. Jen, your guess?
I don't have a guess. The picture of us from the podcast?
Even closer. Nope, she gave me a picture of Skeletor.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to definitely put that one on. Anyways, like I said, my dad was in the hospital. He's better. He's at home now. Holly was up north. Chris and Dana went to some thing. It's where you drink wine and or you paint a picture. And it's really kind of cool. They came back with some really cool artwork and stuff. So I suddenly found myself free. Well, thanks to our good buddy Adam at Panels and Pizza, he mentioned there was a Comic-Con going on up at the Mermaid Entertainment Center up in, 2200 County Road 10. And it's a big entertainment center. Not so much a Comic-Con, but more just like the old-fashioned Greenberg show. It's just somebody rented the room. They put a bunch of dealers in it. I spent a couple hours just digging through books. And let's just take a look at some of them there here. Picked up a graphic novel of the Umbrella Academy, which I could not remember if I read or not.
I have some news about that.
Ooh, news.
Okay, Joe, Umbrella Academy. Do you have the book right there?
Hang on. I just buried it under everything else I bought. Got it.
Who was the writer of that book?
Gerald Way and Gabriella Ba.
Gabriella Ba was the artist. Okay. Gerald Way. Jin, do you know Gerald Way? Hello? Is she there?
She might be eating her donut.
She probably is. He is the lead singer for the band My Chemical Romance. And the reason I bring this up is because if you look at your DC preview for what is coming out in August, DC has a new comic line coming out called Young Animals, which is executive edited, and the first book is being written by Gerald Way.
Cool.
Are you shoehorning more actual comics discussion into this episode?
Well,
not only am I shoehorning it in, I'm breaking news.
Breaking news.
And if we want to get into it, I could even explain why this Young Animals imprint is kind of the death knell for Vertigo.
Go for it.
Their first book is Doom Patrol, and they're going with the... When Vertigo started, they were the edgy adult versions of these characters like Animal Man and Sandman and Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing, and then there were creator-owned books. Well, that's what this Young Animals line is going to be. It's going to be edgy adult versions of DC heroes, and if it sort of catches some sales, they're going to also have a creator-owned component to it. And really, do you need two edgy adult-themed comics lines in your publishing arm?
No.
Sure.
And let's remember that Vertigo just recently released its editor-in-chief, Shelley Bond.
But the real question is, where will Astro City end up?
Probably wherever it needs to be. Although it does not sell all that well. Joe, what else did you get?
Well, let's see. I picked up a bunch of Ultraverse because they were cheap, and I probably have them all, but that's never stopped me before. A few copies of What The, because we've all been talking about What The, so I figured out I'd pick those.
I love that book.
These are all like 50 cents a piece. Why not? It's just some fun reading. On the more,
a lot of good Hilary Barta art in those, too.
I picked up a few other copies of books that I'm pretty sure I don't have. Justice League of America 200. I think I was just reading about this in back issue. And I got a hankering to read it, and since it was dirt cheap, I figured I'd pick it up. It's actually pretty nice. It was one of the first times DC experimented with a square-bound book. Did a really crappy job because they were just all folded and everything, although...
I will disagree with you, Joe. I will disagree with you. DC did a number of square-bound books.
But not crappily like this one.
Yeah, they were. The DC 100 pagers.
Yeah, most of those.
They were all square-bound.
You can find some of those in mint shape. Those are the ones that are crazy prices in the, for sale. Otherwise, if they are beat up or curled, then sometimes you can pick up some decent reading for like $5. And you compare that to Conan the Barbarian 115, which was... also a square-bound 10th anniversary issue. Again, another book that I remember reading that I just wanted a copy of.
And it was Roy Thomas's last story on the Conan regular comic.
Who did the art there?
John Buscema
and Ernie Chan.
See, now the thing about Buscema and Chan, Buscema just would do layouts. So Ernie Chan, his real name was Ernie Chua, but he used Ernie Chan in it at Marvel for, I don't know the real, all the reasons. But he was one of these Filipino artists who would just layer in tons of detail. And a lot of the Filipino artists worshipped Buscema. So they would take extra time on his art, doing much more detail, which is why a lot of their work ended up in the black and white magazines. I may have even told you there was, I don't remember the artist, but there was an artist where they sent the Buscema pages to him in the Philippines, and it was supposed to be back in a month, and it didn't come back, and then another month went by, and it didn't come back, and finally the liaison went to the person who was in charge of gathering up the Filipino artists and said, what has happened? Why haven't we got this book? And he went to the artist, and the artist said, I can't ink it. It's too beautiful. I'll ruin it.
Awesome.
I'll ruin it.
Let's see.
That was a really pretty book, if I remember right.
I picked up a Legion of Superheroes number 100 from 1998. I have no idea.
100?
I have no idea if I read it.
Oh, that's right. They did the reboot, the renumbering.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of Walter Simonson, Alan Davis. So it's got the blue Superman, if you remember him, so that gives you an idea when the continuity was. And just because, oh my God, it's a beautiful, funny-looking book. Adventures of Jerry Lewis, number 68. A photo cover.
Oh, wow.
Jerry is basically pushed up against a very statuesque blonde who happens to be blowing bubble gum. Just funny. You'll find troubles aren't just bubbles for Jerry as the errand boy who almost wrecks Hollywood. Jerry's latest picture at the time. So not too many Jerry Lewis books actually had photos. Let's see. What else we got? Red. I read a graphic novel. Midlife by Joel Ullman. This was published by, well, probably himself, because I don't see any logo on the cover. Drawn in Quarterly. There it is, right on the sides. Writer, artist, and nine panels addict Joel Ullman serves up 170 pages worth of hilarity, pain, and embarrassment that anyone who's experienced or is experiencing, God help him, the awkwardness and panic that comes with turning 40 will relate to all too well. Funny drawings, too. I'll just go with Peter Begg's review of this, because this was a lot of fun. A good read. Parts of it just, I mean, it's a slice of life book, but it just kept me going really fast. And one of those books, I'll pump your wage in, because I'm curious to see what you think of it. I won't be reading much comics in the future, because I'm reading through an actual book.
What?
Oh, this one's called John Dillinger Slept Here by Paul Maccabee, A Crook's Tour of Crime and Corruption in St. Paul from about 1920 to 1936. Basically, it's about bootleggers, kidnappers, murderers, and thieves. Their names, John Dillinger, Babyface Nelson, Machine Gun Kelly. Using eyewitnesses, FBI agents, and gangster testimony, crime historian Paul Maccabee takes you through the bank robberies, gangland assassinations, and police intrigue of St. Paul during those years. What people didn't realize, and they never taught in high school, oh, sweet of Jesus, St. Paul was the most corrupt frickin' place on the planet. They had this thing called the O'Connor system, based on John O'Connor, the police chief. You come to St. Paul, you don't commit any crimes, you'll be left alone. You go to Minneapolis, rob a bank, kill a few people, come hide out in St. Paul, as long as you kicked off a little to O'Connor, you were left alone. 31% of all gangsters hid out in St. Paul during the Prohibition era. And St. Paul didn't do jack squat about it until 36, when finally Hoover just had enough and they just tore down the St. Paul Police Department ending the corruptness. But the book is just fascinating, partly because there are places that I pass by every single day and I had no idea, you know, such scum and villainy were afoot way back then. I've heard stories down in the Landmark Center, downtown St. Paul, where you can go through and see some of the old courthouse that used to be there. And there's actual bullet holes still in the wall from when escapes were tried. And this book's just fascinating. I mean, I'm a history guy. It's just amazing how bad things were. You know, and of course, if you remember in the 20s, everybody kind of looked up to gangsters. Then came the Valentine's Day Massacre and the, I forget, there was some other killings in Kansas that started getting people's attitudes turned away from gangsters. But they just kept going on, fueled by the money of Prohibition. So a fascinating read, and it's, you know, I'm about halfway through it, but it's going to take me a little long to get through it. A couple other things I'll just mention in passing. A friend of mine...
You have friends?
He went to Sweden, yeah. And he brought,
what's that like?
He brought me back a comic book called Betty and Zitz Natsken.
Betty and Zitz.
K-N-A-S-E-N. And what you would do is look at it and go, you know what? That's Beetle Bailey.
Huh.
And that's what they call it. I'm looking to see, just kind of whipping through. Ooh, an interesting ad for Asterix in the back. Just kind of whipping through quick to see. Oh, yeah, there's some Zitz cartoons, the comic strip. But most of it seems to be reprints of just Beetle Bailey, which for some reason they call Neskin. So, and of course, it's all in Sweden, which is kind of cool. And swinging back to the eBay thing, I picked up another piece for my Supergirl collection. A Melissa Benoist signed 8x10 photograph from a place called Signatures for a Cause. So she's in her Supergirl outfit. She slapped a signature on it. If you want one, you can head over to Signature for a Cause because they've got a few other ones they're putting up. So it's for a cause, and now I got her signature. Jin, what are you geeking on? What's got you going besides a large inflatable sprinkle donut?
That was it.
That was quite a donut.
Corey, what are you geeking on?
I'm looking over when I went through...
Leave clover that I... Oh, sorry.
When I was going through all the boxes and looking for stuff, I started stacking up these books that I have not had time to read and put them in a couple of long boxes. And I do have some days off coming, believe it or not.
What?
I know. And the weather looking out is going to be, it's not going to be scary hot all summer long. I am really looking forward to just taking a couple of days over the next month or so. Yes, 2 days in the next month I get off. And just sitting out on the deck and reading this stuff that has been stacking up for a few months. I don't know if Joe is, if Santa's there or if he's digging in the sodas.
No, I forgot at you know, part of my Father's Day, I stopped back at Blue Sun Soda and this time picked up diet sodas, things I could drink. Although I did pick up a few other ones, Toxic Slime, Alien Snot, sadly no Rat Bastard Root Beer.
Bastards.
I did, I talked to him a little bit, I told him, you know, I had a store, we used to sell big, what was it, Black Lemonade, Love Potion 69, and he says they order
that's
it,
right.
It's just they can't find a distributor doing it, and I'm wondering... I took a quick look around the interwebs. There doesn't seem to be any for sale. I wonder if they're gone. That would be,
let's hope not.
That would be a rat bastard thing to do.
While I was at the group home so much, and the weather was hot, they couldn't go outside, one of the clients asked if I would bring in some Westerns. Now, when I watch Westerns, Joe, what kind of Westerns do I watch?
Spaghetti.
Damn straight.
I like the way the boots reverb out across the hardwood floors.
Nope, that's because these Westerns were all filmed silent and dubbed for each country. We watched us for A Fistful of Dollars. We watched us, what was it, the first Sartana movie? And then they wanted to watch Django, and I said, no, we are not watching Django, because... And I'm not talking the Quentin Tarantino movie, because there's no way I'm bringing that one in. But I'm also not bringing in the original Django movie, because that is the most nihilistic, depressing Western I've ever seen, ever. But we did watch a Sartana movie, which has... The Sartana movies are my favorite just because of the titles. We watched... Here's a dollar, amigo. Use it for your funeral. Sartana will pay the rest. And it was basically Sartana's a hired gun, and he tracks down the people who robbed the bank and kills them and takes the money and leaves town. But still, it was fun to watch these movies that I enjoy, and they just wanted a Western, so they just liked the fact that it, you know, there was action and it was cool. And I liked it because finally I get to watch a movie there that I want to see, because normally they have it on the Lifetime channel or the Hallmark channel, and I have to leave the room. And the last thing I am geeking on was normally I don't do much on Father's Day. I was telling Jen last night, I have received one gift on Father's Day in my whole entire adult life. When the future ex-Mrs. Strode was pregnant, I was working at a group home, and they bought me a Father's Day mug, a Superman mug. That is the only Father's Day gift I have ever gotten, ever. Well, last night, my son texted me a Father's Day thank you. It said, Happy Home Depot sales day.
You could save big money at Menards.
But I did get to have a wonderful meal out with the lovely and talented Jen Wicked, which is always a joy. And I got to tell her about the last thing I am geeking on. I mentioned a little earlier that I did an interview with Mike Allred. If you have not listened to it, please go listen to it. He's an amazing guy. He doesn't just do comics, people. He does movies. He's got a rock band. He was a TV producer in Europe, has done radio. This is a true Renaissance man. And if you're an artist, he was inking the entire time we did the interview. The entire time we did the interview, he was inking an issue of Silver Surfer.
You know, I'm halfway through the interview with Angel Medina, so I'm on that one next.
The Angel Medina interview was fun, too. There's a lot there I didn't know about.
You were fun to listen to.
But I sent out the tweet and everything, and I got some wonderful retweets. And if you're out there and you're listening to this here podcast, please retweet us, repost us, tell people. Wake the kids, phone the neighbors, let everybody know. But, Joe, I got retweeted by Marvel executive editor Tom Brevoort.
Cool.
Who sent me a very nice note afterwards saying that he doesn't listen to a lot of podcasts because most of them are incredibly self-serving. Like this one.
We got nothing to serve except giant inflatable sprinkle donuts.
Oh, no. I've been tooting my own horn on this episode. And he said the thing that...
Is that what they're calling it now?
Is that what the kids are calling it? Yes. He said it was wonderful to listen to because
Ollie,
I just got out of the way.
Shooting.
I got out of the way and let Mike Allred do all the talking. And he had some other nice things to say about me because we've actually exchanged emails since 1992 on the Kirby discussion list. Tom Brevoort, huge, huge Kirby fan and advocate at Marvel. So I could die a happy man.
Oh, no, you're not getting out of doing next week's episode.
Damn it.
I got another donut to inflate.
You
got to
watch him like a hawk.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Going to bed early. Not leaving my house. Not going to a party. My childhood punishments have become my adult goals. Jen?
Hit my music, boys!
We're going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance. And have some fun.
Dig! another fine podcast from Solitaire Rose Networks.
The end.